Today on The Dark Side of a Biblical Sacrifice led to 5 grisly murders, 3 found in a burning dumpster. A man charged after bringing his mother's tarp-wrapped body to a Nashville VA medical center. An Omaha woman charged after 45 dead animals were found in her home. And Josh Duggar leaves court with his pregnant wife, Anna, arm in arm, as he continues to defend and try to get his case dismissed.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of...
It is, and it is The Dark Side of the News on today's episode of Dark Side of. We've been doing a lot of features on individual cases, which I love doing. That is a lot of fun, and we have many of those. But today, we're just going to kind of take a look at some of the crazy that's going on around us, at any given time. If you like our show and you want to get advanced episodes of it and no ads in it, you also get bonus features, bonus episodes, and the full archive to just binge away on. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/darksideof, or go to darksidepod.com. And $5 a month gets you access to all that stuff, and your support keeps us on the air. We greatly appreciate it if you listen regularly. You can get all those extras and no ads. That's always nice. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. So, yeah, fun headlines for today.
They're all so fun. But there's one thing about this show you never, which is kind of sad to say, because there's never a lack of bizarro stories.
No.
For it's just, and it's actually weeding out some of the less bizarre ones.
Oh, it is. I mean, there's many days where many stories just sit on the cutting room floor. We never get to them. And I look back going, oh, that would have been really interesting to talk about. But it's like we never got to it. But I mean, that's why the show is now 3 days a week. I mean, it just kind of keeps growing. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point there's another day in the week on this show. Because there's just so much to talk about in this sphere. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this has always been this way, but obviously the way that we can get information, I don't know if we're just hearing about everybody's local craziness that you only used to get if you had the national news. Now we can look at anybody's local newspaper at the click of a button, and then the crazy shit from anybody's local newspaper at the click of a button gets shared, and that's why we're much more aware, I think, of these things now than we used to be. I think if you did some sort of weird experiment and looked back on newspapers 20, 30 years ago, in every single market, in every single city, which would have been far more detailed than they are today, you would have found just the same frequency of insanity. It's just it wasn't shareable, you know, to people beyond those communities. And then they would, you know, slowly die down. Now, if you're crazy in Paducah, you're going to be crazy all over the country and forever. It's not like, oh, I think I remember seeing that in the newspaper. Let me go into the library and get the microfilm and see if I can go take a look at that story again. Nobody fucking does that. They forget you burned down that church and killed those kittens within a couple of years. You got a great job at the Tasty Freeze after
because
that.
Because nobody even remembers how to search on microfilm.
Exactly. You really can't search very well on microfilm, can you? Is there a search option on microfilm?
I think it's just like scrolling through.
It is. Yes, that's the only way. And then, so you're...
and by scrolling, it's not the kind of scrolling like scrolling through a newsfeed.
No, it's a paper, and you're looking at it like... I think it's around this date. Okay, well, here you go. Here is 7,000 pages to go through. If you can see if you can find that one story, it's a needle in a haystack, even if you kind of know what you're looking for. But some of them are getting digitized now, which I find to be kind of cool. And those you can, because it'll do text recognition. So it's kind of interesting where you can pull back stories and kind of read some of the craziness of days of yore. My favorite are the small town newspapers where it'd be like Aunt Gayla had her sister come into town today and she brought a pecan pie. That's like literally some of the shit in these old papers. especially the real small town ones. My grandparents' hometown is a paper.
Yeah, because they had that community news. Mm-hmm. So you would tell the paper that you had company.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
And the family enjoyed that pecan pie. The whole family came over, aunts, uncles, and Bernice, the weird one with the limp, also had a piece. And the next article down is like, man that used to hang out at playground arrested on molestation charges. It's like, and he was at the pecan pie party.
Of course he was.
They didn't arrest him there. They were waiting for him to leave the trampoline.
Because even though he's a perv, he still likes pecan pie.
He doesn't like pecan pie. And it is fucking pecan. I hate saying pecan. It's pecan. That's the end of that. Although it probably is a regional thing. But hey, yeah, the days of yore, good old newspapers. A biblical sacrifice led to 5 grisly murders, 3 found in a burning dumpster. I don't know what the hell is going on here with the biblical sacrifices lately, but there's a lot of it involving kids, people, whether you have kids or pets or neither. Biblical sacrifices are not acceptable. This is a message from Casey Kasem. A man arrested Monday night and charged in connection with the deaths of 3 people whose dismembered bodies were found in a burning dumpster last week. He's been tied to 2 other slayings and has confessed to the killings, saying he was committing biblical sacrifice. Well, when you get stopped by the police, at least he knows that's an acceptable answer. They're intruding on his religious beliefs at that point, are they not?
In his head, yeah.
Jason Allen Thornburg, 41, was booked into the Tarrant County Jail at around 11:30 p.m. Monday on a charge of capital murder and multiple persons. He's currently being held in the jail on $1 million bond, and it's not clear if he's obtained an attorney. Last Wednesday, Fort Worth firefighters were called to a dumpster fire near the city's west side. After putting out the fire, firefighters made a horrible discovery when they spotted the burned, dismembered remains of 3 people inside the trash bin. One of the victims had several distinctive tattoos and was identified as 42-year-old David Lurass, a man police say had a long criminal record and had ties to Dallas County and Northeast Tarrant County. After initially saying the other 2 victims found in the dumpster were an unknown adult female and a child, police said during a news conference Tuesday afternoon that they were both adult women and that they had may have been close to confirming their identities. Fort Worth police said Tuesday that video surveillance near the dumpster showed the person they believe dumped the bodies was driving an 05 to 2010 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Police say they are at roughly 7,000 of those vehicles in North Texas, but that a detective noticed specific chrome rims and accents that looked similar to the one seen in a video near the dumpster. That SUV, a 2008 Grand Cherokee, owned by Thornburg. Detectives Tuesday said that Thornburg, who worked as an electrician, was a person of interest in the suspicious death of his roommate, 61-year-old Mark Jewell, whose body was found inside their burning home on Valentine Street on May 21st. The medical examiner's office was not able to determine the man's cause of death due to the explosion in the home, though it was investigated at the time. Officials said they didn't have probable cause to arrest him. Using GPS data, homicide detectives located Thornburg's SUV at a residence in Arlington and learned he'd recently been staying at the Mid-City Inn since June 28th. Police said Tuesday homicide detectives obtained surveillance video from the motel that showed a guest exiting a room carrying large bins police believe contained the dismembered remains of the 3 victims. Police said the motel guest made several trips from the room to the car and from the motel to the dumpster. Police said at the time frame from when the bins were loaded into the SUV to when they were dumped at the dumpster in West Fort Worth lines up. At 5:30 p.m. Monday, detectives approached Thornburg when he left his residence in Arlington and asked if he'd consent to a voluntary interview. He agreed. During the interview, police said Thornburg admitted his involvement in the deaths of the people found in the dumpster, as well as the man who was found after the fire on Valentine Street. Police said Tuesday Thornburg shared grisly details of the crimes that would be known only to someone involved in the deaths. Authorities added that the killings in the motel room were apparently done over several days and the remains were stored in plastic bags until they were transferred to containers. According to his arrest warrant affidavit, in his confession, Thornburg said in an in-depth knowledge of the Bible, and he believed he was being called to commit sacrifices. In the arrest document, he also reportedly admitted to killing a girlfriend in Arizona, Fort Worth said they were reaching out to authorities there, but did not reveal any further details about that slaying. It's not clear whether Thornburg knew each of the victims. Police said Tuesday that the men shared the same room at the Mid-City Inn for several days, presumably until they were killed. Fort Worth police served a search warrant at the motel Tuesday morning, saying they recovered a knife from Thornburg's hotel room. That's got to be really kind of difficult for that hotel now, I would think. You know, it's probably, they got to put like those big banners out going, "We cleaned the room, like not the one that had the slaying," you know, something like that.
"We don't rent that one out. Don't worry."
It looks like it was last up. The hotel's like its last update was probably around 1978. So I don't know that cleanliness is at the top of, I don't know. I mean, they could be like updated and nice, maybe. I don't know.
And maybe they just rent by the hour.
I don't know. I'm going to look up like the reviews on this hotel.
So I had read an article about this, and it's super twisted because the guy also, like, after his roommate was killed, he killed him. But everybody's like feeling really bad. And like he got up and spoke at the guy's service and everything. Like, that's twisted. You killed him. And then he cut a gas line to start the explosion and the fire.
And he spoke
like,
at the, oh my God.
The roommate. Yeah, the one that happened before these three grisly ones. The dumpster ones. So, and so there was a pastor, somebody at the church who was, you know, really working with him and I can't think of the word, like sharing scripture with him, but he's like helping him through this difficult time. And
yeah,
and even asked his wife if he could stay with them. And the wife's like, "No, I don't have a good feeling about that. Thank God." But isn't that crazy? Like he would do that and then be, you know, I'm going to speak at his service.
God,
that's just twisted.
I'm trying to find the name of the hotel because I want to look at their TripAdvisor reviews. I'm not finding it. The Western, they're not, and they're just, it's very, I don't know, if you want more information on this case, you might want to name the place. So if you found that the murders took place in a certain area, I don't know why they would not name the spot of the crime. Because they named where the dumpster fire was, but they believe that things were carried out of that certain hotel. I don't know. Maybe it's in here somewhere and I'm just not seeing it. We'll have to skip reading the fine reviews, I'm sure, that exist for that location.
We'll find them for next week.
I'm sure they're just as stellar as Amy's Baking Company. Let's go to our next story here. Man charged after bringing mother's tarp-wrapped body to a Nashville VA medical center. Seems like a logical move. I mean, you know, she needs a little bit of help. Wrap her in the tarp, take her in. Only problem is I don't think she was alive. A man is facing several charges. This is from WKRN-TV in Nashville. Man is facing several charges after bringing his deceased mother's body wrapped in a tarp to the Nashville VA Medical Center, according to an arrest warrant from Metro Police. The warrant states that 37-year-old Thomas Henschel brought his mother's body to the VA Medical Center on 24th Avenue South on Saturday at 5:19 p.m. His mother had been identified as 60-year-old Danielle Brown, who had been shot in the head. His mother's body was wrapped in a tarp in the back of his truck at the time. Henschel was with his girlfriend, and he stated his mother had committed suicide. That's got to be a weird conversation. You know, you're sitting there like you're eating your Rice Krispies in the morning. Maybe you had a cup of coffee. Like, what are we doing today? I'm going to take Ma. Where are you going to take her? You got to take her to the VA. Something wrong? She's shot in the head. What?
Committed suicide.
What? Where? I already wrapped her up in the tarp. I got her all you know, tucked in last night. She's back there in the Ram tough. And we're going to take her. We're going to take her to VA this morning. What happened? Shot herself. You ask more questions, bitch, you're going to die. I wonder if that's how breakfast went. Medics from the Metro Nashville Fire Department arrived on scene and confirmed the victim was dead. Both Henschel and his girlfriend were taken to the MNPD headquarters, where they both waived their rights and spoke with homicide detectives. Henschel's girlfriend told detectives he'd called her Friday. Oh, here we go. Called her Friday and again on Saturday, sounding extremely distraught. The warrant states he then went to his girlfriend's residence and told her he found his mother in the woods. She was dead and they needed to take her somewhere. It's kind of a little Blair Witchy for me. Henschel told his girlfriend his mother was in the back of the truck and he'd been with her for a long time. The warrant states he and his girlfriend both stopped for food, gas, and coffee. So they did. Before driving to the VA Medical Center in Chattanooga, realizing it was closed. They then took the victim's body across state lines, passing multiple hospitals and police precincts located in Davidson County. They drove to the Nashville VA Medical Center under false pretenses that the victim had committed suicide and to get her help. According to the warrant, Henschel crossed state lines with the victim's body wrapped up in a tarp, knowing that she was already deceased and had been for an extended period of time. The warrant states Henschel failed to report discovering his mother's body. It also states he touched, altered, and concealed the victim's body, clothing, and personal effects, all of its evidence in the investigation. During the interview with detectives, Henschel stated he was right next to the victim when she shot herself. However, he told his girlfriend that he discovered the mother in the woods. The defendant stated that he had secured the gun in his RV. He told investigators his RV is somewhere in the woods near the lake in Chattanooga and would not give any more details. Well, there you go, kids. There's an RV near a lake by Chattanooga. Go find it. During the interview with detectives, Henschel stated that he was right next. Okay. When he's asked about his cell phone, Henschel said he left it in Chattanooga. In the warrant, detective said this is false because he had sent an email to his girlfriend from his cell phone while he was with her earlier in the day. Detectives listened to the recording attached to said email, in which the victim is heard saying, "He's not accountable for anything. He's agreed to put me out of my misery." When asked how the victim obtained the gun, Henschel invoked his Miranda rights. He's being charged with tampering with evidence, removing a disturbed body, and failure to report the discovery of a dead body based on the facts presented. These charges only extend within the venue of Davidson County. Homicide detectives have been in contact with the Chattanooga Police Department. No other information was immediately released. So, you know when you're on the road, and you, someone's passing you and kind of like something that's questionable and they look kind of questionable and you're like, oh my God, that wheel on the back of that thing, that could like fly off at any time. And there's a bunch of shit in the back of the truck that could go flying out. Also, if at any moment, should a squirrel jump in front of the vehicle? And you're just like, how the hell what's going on with these people? That's one of these people.
Dead body in the back of the car.
That's, you're like, wonder what's the story? That's the story. There's a lot of these stories that just don't get told, but that's the type of crazy shit. I mean, this is just, you can picture this like in a movie, almost like The Hills Have Eyes, where they're just kind of operating in this weird shit, doesn't make any sense in logic, and somehow this is going to be an okay thing way.
I mean, none of it makes sense. What makes sense is that he killed his mom and he's covering it up. Because if his story's true and she committed suicide, why, number one, wouldn't you just call the cops right then? Why would you wrap her up and then go eat and get coffee and all of the things?
And here's what I think happened. I don't think he like murdered her like out of vengeance. I think it might have been like a mercy killing where she's like, please kill me, take me out of my misery. Well, I'll get in trouble for that, Ma. No, you won't. We'll just make a video of me saying you did it to me on purpose. Okay. And then it happens. And then it's like, let's go get coffee and let's get some of those cronuts. I like those cronuts. Not the cronuts, not the donuts. They got them down at the 7-Eleven over there. I want a few of those before we bring Ma in. Oh, shit, they're already closed. Let's cross state lines. Yeah. I don't think there's just a lot of thinking going on.
I think these people think this is a great story and everybody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
And all it does is make you look extremely guilty and you committed crimes, even if you didn't kill her.
Exactly.
You can't just drive around with a body in the back while you stop for coffee.
I don't think they realized they were committing crimes. Is what I'm saying. I think.
Oh, you think they're that stupid?
They're just dumb, is my guess. I think he thought it's legal if the mom said that he could do it. And so he did it. And there'll probably be a video showing this. And he thought he was doing the right thing and putting her out of her misery, whatever the hell was going on with her. And then he's like, well, who knows? Maybe the conversation between the two of them were like, what do I do with your body? Just take me to the VA. They'll know what to do.
Okay.
And then that's literally the operatus mirandi of this whole damn thing. It's just utter stupidity. And it's like, okay.
But could be all of that. But like, what part of go ahead and kill me and put me out of my misery would a son go, okay, mom?
A really dumb one that would think you could just go out and get some coffee and donuts and then
like, who could even,
drive around
like,
with her in the tarp of the back of your truck?
Most everyone's had a loved one who you have seen suffer and go through.
Sure. Or,
you know, you lost a loved one and you've seen all that. So, I've been through it. If my dad would have said, and I knew he was terminally ill, if he would have said, you know what, just go ahead and kill me and put me out of my misery. Yeah. I'd been like, nah, I'm not the girl for that job.
Sure.
Who could do that?
Oh, there's plenty of people that could do that. I mean, just walk through Walmart.
Okay,
there's plenty of people that I could, or any store for that matter. I'm not just singling out Walmart. Walk anywhere.
But then what a stupid parent, too, because it's like, I know.
Yes.
I'm just going to, and everyone will believe my son, I'm just going to set my son up for prison for the rest of his life.
And they're not thinking that way. That's my guess. This is just a giant ball of stupidity is my guess. I don't know that it's intentional murder. I don't know.
This is one we need to follow up on.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see what happens. Maybe there's some other evidence and maybe they're not as dumb as I think they are. But that's where my gut tells me it sits right now. So
no, they could be that dumb.
Kind of does sound that way. Okay. Oh, I gotta take a quick survey if I want to get this get to this story here. Because we don't want to get to see our local news. Okay. Oh, it's okay. Which of the three? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, here we go. This is an Omaha woman charged after 45 dead animals were found in her home. Comes from the Omaha World Herald. An Omaha woman has been charged with two counts of felony animal abuse and neglect related to the discovery of dozens of dead animals in her home. It began with reports that the 47-year-old Jamie Kimborough was hoarding rabbits in her West Omaha garage. It led to the discovery of a squalid living conditions for the 45 dead animals. Kimbrough, who was described by witnesses in an affidavit as severely disabled, was first contacted by officers with the Nebraska Humane Society on August 10th. At the time, Kimbrough denied owning any rabbits and claimed that her two dogs, which could be seen by an officer, were vaccinated and licensed by her father's veterinary clinic in Grand Island, according to the affidavit. After a call to the clinic, the Humane Society investigator found that the dogs weren't licensed or vaccinated and that Kimbrough's father was retired from the clinic and living out of state, she wrote in an affidavit. I became very concerned for the condition of Jamie's hygiene and general care, so I contacted the Department of Health and Human Services Neglected and Vulnerable Adult Division, the investigator wrote. Investigators were contacted August 16th by a woman who breeds and shows rabbits. The woman said that she had been friends with Kimbrough for several years. The woman said Kimbrough had convinced her to drop off a female rabbit that was no longer breeding so Kimbrough could provide free veterinary fertility testing. The woman planned to drop off her rabbit with Kimbrough for a few days but wouldn't see it again for almost a month. During that time, Kimbrough said she would return the rabbit only if the woman agreed to sell her more rabbits. The woman eventually threatened to call police and a mutual friend agreed to pick up the rabbit and return her to the woman, according to the affidavit. The rabbit's condition was described in the affidavit as skin and bones, emaciated, with feces and urine on her paws and an extremely bad odor coming from her. The rabbit died a few days later. A search warrant was executed at Kimbrough's home on August 19th. Investigators described a garage with solid rabbit waste several inches high and a basement with abundant dog feces and mold. Two bird cages were in a bedroom with two bird skeletons inside. 38 dead rabbits were found in the garage, and five more dead rabbits were found at a second location owned by Kimbrough. She had a second place. One is not enough. At a second location, Humane Society officer wrote in the affidavit that Kim Brown told her that she would snap the necks of rabbits when she couldn't care for them anymore. She told me that it was legal for her to do so because she had a veterinary license. No proof of veterinary license could be found, according to the affidavit. Two dogs, eight rabbits, were rescued after being cared for by the Humane Society. Kimbra's bail was set at $20,000 on Friday. She could not be reached by phone for comment Saturday night. We're dealing with someone who is very mentally ill here, clearly.
Yeah. Which is so sad.
What's so scary about that is how long, you know, people had to know this person is there and like this to some extent. I mean, there's clearly reports month and month in out and before all this that people were well aware that this person is not right. There's something wrong with them. But we just like, well, we'll do a check here. We'll do a check there. I mean, to me, it's like if you see this and this extreme condition that this person is living in, we have nothing in our system to say we need to take immediate action here.
And there's no place to put him.
Exactly.
Like, if you were to remove her from her home,
what do you do?
What do you do?
Because the state hospitals and all those sort of things that used to exist, well, now they're either torn down or they've been turned into like luxury resort living centers that look really creepy and they're neat to look at. But they're like there were places in our society. I think we were unaware of this. Now, were they the greatest in all places? No. There's plenty of horror stories that came out of these sort of facilities, but there are several that actually do have really positive stories behind them of how they cared for the people in their community that needed help. But today, unless you have like Buco insurance or a family, you're kind of on your own and there's not a lot of help for you. I really think if we did that system, like a modern version of having a state care hospital that has, you know, humane standards as opposed to what used to exist, it could be done. And we could help a lot of these people and we would have then less problems in the communities with things like this happening where it you know, spills out and it actually does harm other people or animals and things like that. But we don't. It's like, they're either homeless or they're living in this sort of, you know, squalor-like condition because they don't know how to live. And it's not their fault if they have a disability and are disabled. That's a mental condition that we don't, you know, we're just like, oh, well, you know, you'll figure it out. It's not how that works.
You know, I don't know. She might have presented better because she obviously convinced this person, like, I need your rabbit for whatever reason. Because we're doing this thing. And you know, I would think if you're a rabbit breeder, like, you wouldn't just do something like that. So it makes me think that maybe, you know, like, there's so many hoarder people that you see on that mm-hmm. show that seem to live productive lives outside of their home.
Sure. Well, at the beginning of the story, it said, though.
So maybe it was just.
Neighbors, mm-hmm. they're like, they asked neighbors, like, what did you describe her as? And severely disabled is what a witness said. So it's like people kind of knew. And I'm not blaming the people for not doing anything that lived next door to her. What do you do? You can't. It's not up to you to, you know, physically do anything with that person. But there's no one to call. There's no one to get help.
That's a problem.
And that's the problem. So it's like.
And. You know, it's not a crime to, I mean, I would think maybe somebody could have maybe called for a wellness check or something like that. But then even if the cops do go in, what can they really do?
I mean, unless you're, you know, doing a full-fledged investigation like they eventually did, not a whole hell of a lot without like a warrant or something. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a sad, sad story. On to that, something fun, Josh Duggar.
He's always so fun.
Woo! Well, it's a big picture from today, this week, leaving court with his pregnant wife, Anna, after a push to dismiss his child porn case fails. That's a picture that, you know, that little one is going to want to, you know, have forever, like on their like nightstand, like mom and dad. What's this one? Where were you doing in this, dad? Oh, that's when I was leaving court fighting my child porn case. Oh, I love you. You're my hero. Josh Duggar's defense team has been engaged in multiple disputes with the prosecution over evidence leading up to his criminal trial for receiving and possessing child sex abuse material. A judge has denied 4 out of 5 of Josh Duggar's motions to suppress evidence and get his child pornography case dismissed amid his ongoing legal woes. Duggar, 33, has been charged with receiving and possessing child sex abuse material. Wow, they're not even calling it child porn anymore. They're calling it child sex abuse material. I like that. That sounds even more severe because it is. He pled not guilty to the charges following his April arrest and was released pending his November 30th trial. Ahead of the trial, his defense team has filed multiple motions regarding the evidence in the case, most of which were denied at a Monday hearing. According to court records obtained by People, the defense requests included a motion to suppress statements Duggar allegedly made to federal agents during the course of their investigation, a motion to dismiss the case entirely on claims that investigators failed to preserve potentially exculpatory evidence, a motion to suppress photographs of Duggar's hands and feet taken while he was in custody, and a motion to dismiss Duggar's indictment because of technicalities over who was running the Department of Homeland Security at the time of their investigation. The fifth motion, another request to suppress evidence, has not yet been ruled on by a judge. Lawyers for Duggar did not immediately respond to People's request for comments. After the hearing, Duggar was spotted exiting the courthouse with his pregnant wife, Anna, who previously said she was expecting their 7th child together this fall. An appearance was captured by local ABC affiliate 4029 News. More news than one channel can handle. That's why we're 4029 News. The badass motherfuckers at 10. That's not their positioning statement, but that would be kind of a fun one though. More news than one signal can handle. Anyway, following their release from jail earlier this year, Duggar was granted unlimited contact with the couple's children, Mackenzie Renee, Michael James, Marcus Anthony, Meredith Grace, Mason Garrett, and Mariella Hope will turn 2 in November. I feel bad for these kids. Provided that Anna is present, he is not allowed to see any other minor children, including many of his nieces and nephews. A source previously told People that Anna, 33, is standing by Duggar. She thinks Josh is innocent, the insider said in May, adding, Josh has seen his children with Anna there, so he has to be there. The prosecution in Duggar's case has disputed each of the defense's claims and previously accused Duggar's team of embarking on a fishing expedition for evidence that is either non-existent, immaterial to his defense, or already produced. That was in response to a motion filed by the defense in July claiming the prosecution was refusing to turn over evidence. The defense has also successfully delayed the upcoming criminal trial, which was initially set to begin in early July. It's now been postponed. It was postponed to June, now to November 30th. After the defense said it needed more time to forensically analyze all of the electronic devices involved in the investigation. If convicted, Duggar faces up to 20 years of imprisonment and up to $250,000 in fines on each of the 2 counts, to a possible sentence of 40 years, according to an April press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Western District of Arkansas. He's believed to have more than 200 images of children on his computer. And remember, this is also the guy who allegedly molested 5 underage girls as a teenager. 2 of his sisters, Jill Duggar, who's now 30, and Jessa Duggar, who's now 28, and later came forward as 2 of the victims. And then he said he felt badly about what happened. So, yeah.
Well, and it bothers me, someone like that has kids and, you know, are they at risk or have they been at risk? And
any kid around this guy's at risk. He did it with his sisters. So, I mean, I would say your own children are, if.
Which is why he can't.
Alone.
See them alone. But I don't think his wife would be a very good judge of. You know, I just wouldn't trust her.
No.
To enforce that.
No, I mean, she seems completely brainwashed on this, too. It's just.
She is ready to pop. While you were talking that, I had to look it up and find a picture. And she's very pregnant.
I'm watching the news story. I was in that building a couple of weeks ago getting my license plate stuff. I should have timed that better.
I was going to say, can't you go back for some reason?
I know exactly. That building's like 4 miles from my house. So maybe five if I go straight. Yeah. But yeah. And he looks like he's just like came out of the drunk tank when he's walking out of the court with his wife. He really does.
He needs a shave.
Oh my God.
I don't get it.
They look.
But
so
you know,
happy.
Christmas season is going to be really weird for you and me.
Yeah.
Because if he goes, you know, it'll be like, what'd you do tonight? Oh, went and looked at Christmas lights and came home and did a podcast about Josh Duggar.
Yeah.
Because I think that trial is going to be.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Fascinating.
That's gonna be,
and sad and.
All Christmas season long.
I know.
We get the joy. It's the Duggar that keeps on giving. And there's a lot of Duggars that just kept on fucking giving. But this one just keeps on fucking giving. So, yeah. My God. No. November 30th, surprisingly, not far away. Which is weird to think about. That's like in a month, less than a month. My God.
I don't understand, though, why they wouldn't just push it back to January at that point.
Well, they've already pushed it a year, or more than half a year. They got to get on with this at some point.
But I mean, why not just wait till January?
Make the holidays a little brighter for the Duggars.
Nobody's going to be there cheering them on. Just the wife.
This should be exciting. This should be exciting. Well, there you go. That's a look at the fine world that we live in on this episode of Dark Side of the News today. If you guys like the program, keep us on the air. Become supporters. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/darkside of, or just search Dark Side of on Patreon, or go to our website, darksidepod.com. Get access to all of our episodes, the advanced episodes, and everything's commercial free there too. You also get the archive of everything to binge away on as well. Just check out to again, patreon.com and search Dark Side of. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Dark Side of.